Welcome back. It's Tom Bell here, and I'm so grateful to have you on another episode. And on today's episode, I'm bringing you Emily Strickler, a life and confidence coach. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. You have this positive energy about you. It's contagious, and people, haven't probably had the chance to meet you yet. So could you start by telling us a bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Emily. I guess my business name is Emily Elizabeth Coaching. And I am an American girl living in the Netherlands. I married a Dutch man and currently living in Southern Holland. I'm a life and confidence coach. It's hard to kind of sum up everything coaches do in one title. So when we were kind of talking about this before, but I coach couples. I'm a relationship coach. I love teaching people law of attraction, manifestation, worthiness, confidence. And I use confidence because confidence ties into every area of your life. You want to be confident in yourself. You want to be confident in your career, in your spirituality, in your relationships, in your goals. And so I just kind of tie it all in with confidence, but it's really so much more than that. I'm in month 17, I think, of starting this business. And it's been very successful. It is my passion. I feel completely fired up when I coach. So many people ask coaches, do you ever get tired, like listening to people all day and like their problems? And I always say, it's so funny. If I'm having an off day and then I get on a call, I am like fueled. I just get in the zone and I am all there and it just energizes me. And I'm always reminded, like, this is what I was meant to do. This is why the gifts God gave me. And I am in it. See, I'm very confident in it, which is why I like to kind of, share that with people.
So you've found your calling.
Yes. 100%. What's that
like? What were you doing before?
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is amazing.
I think of that, like, I really reflect on, you hear this growing up, and I remember hearing this maybe from my parents or from everybody and probably from myself, well, look, not everybody, you're the exception. If you find your passion and you get to make money doing it, that is truly the exception, is what I used to believe. And I think a lot of people believe that. But I do not believe that anymore. I am very blessed that I have found it at a fairly young age. I'm 30 now. And but I truly believe it's possible for anybody. But right, we get in our own way with limiting beliefs and past traumas and fears and insecurities and, oh no, what is everybody else gonna think? And what if I fail? And all this shit that goes on in our head. And I mean, it just lights me up. I like my insides have a huge smile on my face. I am so blessed that I get to do what I love and I get to make money doing it. And I get to make my own schedule. I get to live anywhere in the world that I want because I work online. I get to see my family when I want. I live abroad, right? So I get to go home and see my family often, which is such a blessing. With a 9-to-5, you can't do that. It's amazing. I don't know how else to describe it. I feel truly, truly blessed every single day.
So that's an interesting thing. Like, if I believe that I have to work a 9-to-5, I'm going to prove myself right. And I'm going to end up working a 9-to-5. If I believe that, I'm not destined for this. And you were talking before about self-worth and confidence. And it's almost like, I wonder if there's a clear correlation, like if self-worth goes up, well, then confidence is likely to be there equally shooting upwards with it. Mm-hmm. So by believing, if anyone watching or listening is to just change their belief, understand that if you want to live a life that you truly love, believe that you're worthy of living a life that you truly love, and then have the confidence to go and find it. or step by step, the journey of 1,000 steps mm-hmm. begins with a single step. Well, start taking steps towards it. And it might be one step forward, two steps back, five steps back. It might be mm-hmm. like a game of tug of war even. But mm-hmm. as long as you have grit and you keep pushing forward, you can achieve it. So going for you, how did you get there? What were you doing before? Like, were you, tell me you were somewhere miserable. I don't want to wish it upon you because you're happy now, so it doesn't matter. But were you somewhere else and you're just like, what am I doing here?
No, I wasn't. I mean... so many things came to my mind, by the way, when you were speaking that I would love to touch on, but because you're right, that's exactly what people do. But no, I was not miserable before. I was very, which is why I coach couples. So I'm also a relationship coach. I was very lost and stuck in resentment and in my relationship. And that was a very low point in my life. And that was around, my husband was listening. It's so funny when we're amazing now, amazing. And that's why I love to coach couples. But that is what I consider the rough point, the point where I really had to do so much mindset work, so much confidence building. But as far as job 9 to 5, I've been very blessed. I got good jobs, but I knew it wasn't what I wanted to do. Like, I remember meeting lifetimers where I worked. It was a government agency, but it felt corporate, right? It felt like mm-hmm. it was an office. Yeah. I had my own office. We had the big round table meetings, all that kind of stuff, you know, professional every day, you had to be on time, all that kind of stuff. And I'd meet people there working there for 25 years. And, you know, maybe some of them loved it. There's nothing wrong with that. But in my mind, I was like, no, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. And I always wanted to work online. I wanted to be able to work from anywhere. Mm. And so I tried so many things. I taught English online. I got a digital marketing certification. I was looking into maybe selling Amazon products. There was all the, like, I had the mm-hmm. itch. I had the itch for a long time. And I did wait to go for it, for sure, because I would tell myself, I'm not techie enough. I'm not that smart. I'm not, you know, I would always tell myself I'm average at like everything, mm-hmm. but I'm not like really great at something. And I believed it. And I said it so innocently, right? We say this shit to ourselves so mm-hmm. innocently, like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I'm average at that. And now I'm like, no, I am average at a lot of things, but I was about to curse. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this. We didn't go over that, but I'm freaking amazing on, I am amazing at coaching. And I don't say that to brag. I say that with confidence, and anybody can truly, you create confidence. It isn't innate. Maybe it comes, certain areas come more naturally to certain people, but you absolutely can create confidence. You can create anything you want in your life. I really, really believe that. But yes, people tell themselves, because you touched on this, they tell themselves like, oh, well, it's not in the cards for me. I have to work this 9 to 5. What else am I going to do? And what they're doing there is literally training right? We have this filter in our brain. It's called the reticular activating system. And it is so a little like brain science that helps my more logical clients understand that you have this filter and we program it ourselves through our thought patterns, mm-hmm. but our thought patterns are retrainable, but you have to first recognize them and then work to believe a new one. Those thought patterns will always be there. So they may come back up over time, but if you've literally like ingrained new neural thought patterns of, you know, maybe there's something more, I could possibly get there, right? Like little thoughts like that. I'm learning to get there. Not like I can do anything I want. I'm the best. It's too far of a jump for people mm-hmm. from this thought pattern to a new thought pattern. And so you literally can retrain your brain, this reticular activating system. And then also I tie in like the law of attraction, which like attracts like, love attracts love, hate attracts hate, negativity attracts negativity. And so you have to start paying attention to like, what are you calling into your life? What are you, you know, what are you attracting into your life? You know, when you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and then all of a sudden you're pissed in traffic, you show up upset at work, you know, you miss a meeting, like all of a sudden your whole day goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, because you're attracting all that into your life with your attitude, with your thoughts. And that is so retrainable.
Mm. I remember hearing about the RAS, or reticular activation system, or activating system, was about, and something that made it easy to, you know, bring into your own awareness is, you know, you decide to get a new car, and all of a sudden you're seeing these new cars everywhere on the road. Like you haven't seen them before, and then you've made this decision to buy, and mm-hmm. then boom, there's one. And it's our brains can't actually handle consciously the amount of information that's flooding us all the time. So what we do is we say, well, hey, please delete, you know, like the massive majority of it. So I don't need to know about those other cars. But now that I've said that this one's important, all of a sudden my brain goes, hey, there's one. What's important to you? So that's almost a way that we can do it. If we can start to say, well, hang, what's important to me? Not what I don't want to have, because then I'm probably going to end up seeing more of what I don't want and what I don't want to have. So it might be just those little things of like, well, I would like to maybe work online. And all of a sudden the things were coming into your awareness. It doesn't mean that when something comes into your awareness that is now the exact right fit. It's just in the space. So now you can tailor your thinking again. Well, okay, what I want actually is so to be from home and to be able to be engaged in something that I enjoy, a passion or a love that I can tie together with being at home. And so is that how you came across coaching? Like, how did you come to know that coaching was it?
Yeah. I love that you gave that example too, because I give that about baby fever. Like there are always babies. You just want it now. So now you're seeing the babies. But yeah, I came into, I've always been into self-help. I always told myself, I just want to help people. I thought I wanted to go into nursing. I've always volunteered. Like I've always had that kind of compassionate, empathetic, you know, hearts. Like you see the girl sitting alone at lunch and I would be thinking, oh, we should go sit with her. You know, that I've always kind of had that. I read the You Are a Badass books by Jen Sincero. And I remember this moment reading the back cover and she said she was a life coach. And I was thinking, what the hell is a life coach? And then I started hearing it more and more from all these people I would meet. I didn't realize it then. I realize it now when I think like, oh yeah, that guy told me about coaching and how much he paid for his coach. And I was like, what is this shit? But this sounds amazing. And then this person and that person. So it started just, reflecting, I see it now. But then I found Esther and Jerry Hicks, The Law of Attraction, Abraham Hicks, Manifestation. And I was in a place in my relationship where I felt really lost. I just found out I was pregnant and I miscarried, and it was a heavy time. And that's when I found Abraham Hicks, and I just binge listened to her. And I realized I don't have to think this way. I don't have to feel this way. And it is me doing it to myself. And I don't want to blame anymore. And I want to be in control of my life. I want to be in control of my life. And I was feeling so many emotions around my relationship and my life and just everything. And so I binge listened to her. And then next thing I know, I bought this online digital marketing course. I was like, I'm going to start my own business. And then I started my own business and I did that for a year. And then I found the Life Coach School, Brooke Castillo. Binge listened to her. Signed up within 3 months of finding her to become a certified life and weight loss coach, but I don't focus on weight loss, focus on the life part of it. And that was in 2019 when I finished that course. And it just happened like that. It just, I got consumed with these people that I heard. Eckhart Tolle is a big person that I kind of binge listen to. I go through these phases of binge listening to my teachers, right? We call these people our teachers. And then it just all fell together. My relationship completely changed. We got married. I get emotional thinking about that because I don't feel badly anymore because that doesn't serve me. I don't feel guilty anymore. I know that it all happened how it was supposed to, but to feel that much frustration and resentment towards somebody you love, and then to see where you are now and how happy you are and fulfilled you are and truly believing it is the perfect person I could be with, And then seeing my business, like everything just started falling into place, everything. And I feel complete appreciation for my life and confidence in my goals and belief in myself every single day. And I know how to manage self-doubt and I know how to manage insecurity. And I'm so full.
What a transformation. No. I appreciate the vulnerability and sharing, you know, an incredibly authentic story. And, you know, it's interesting to me because it feels as though, you know, you in your own story and perhaps anybody watching or listening right now, it's almost like trying to drive a car from the passenger seat, you know, and that's sometimes what life feels like. You know, it's a bit out of control. You're trying to put your hands down to where your feet should be if you're in the right chair, trying to hit brakes and accelerators, checking up and where am I headed. You're bumping into things. You can't really steer. You know, it's just not safe. At any point, you know, you're going to hit something, fly out the windscreen, onto the bonnet, onto the road, shattered, right? But it seemed that you decided, no, I'm going to hop in the driver's seat of my own life. And that can be a scary place to be because you taking control of your own life means that you have to actually say that you're responsible for what's happening to you. That's a big shift because stepping away from blame, like I remember that if you point the finger of blame, there's always three fingers pointing back at yourself. So you should always start by actually looking at what you can change yourself. So even though looking back, it's like, you know, yes, you know, we might have created, you know, some pain or whatever on our way. You really sound like you took ownership and that then started to see how you turned up differently. And now everything around you started to activate differently. So your life just got better and better because of your inner work.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's, we learn from pain, we grow in contrast, like that teaches us. And that's really hard for people to understand and to accept. But once you really accept that you grow in pain, you grow in you grow from negative emotion, it can be a teacher, it can be a guide. You feel the negative emotion less intensely than you would have before. It has to click. You can learn about all this stuff, but until it really, really clicks, it's like until that neural, I don't know what's going on in the brain, but that chemical reaction, you're like, holy shit, I get it. Like those aha moments. And so much of the work I do with my clients is helping them step out of victim mentality is to realize like you're blaming. And it's not to say that your feelings can't be validated. You're allowed to feel anything you want. Your feelings are valid. Your emotions are valid, but I'm not going to validate your story because your story is painful. And even though it feels true, it's okay that it feels true. It's not serving you. So let's ease our way into shifting your perception. Let's ease our way into forgiveness and love and understanding and compassion and joy. Life is supposed to be joyful. And it's okay that sometimes it's not because we grow in that. Anytime you feel a negative emotion, you're like growing your desire so intensely for what you do want because you feel so far away from it. Right. So it's like, God, I just want that so badly. But you touched on this before, you know, Pete, you said, you know, it's not telling yourself so much of what you don't have, like, oh, I know what I want because I don't have it now. You're calling more of what you don't have into your life because that's what you're focused on. It's focusing on what you want and shifting slowly because it does take people time into believing it is possible for you and that you can get it. And that does take a lot of inner work and that takes a lot of asking yourself questions and getting the support you need. Obviously I'm a coach and it's my business, but I have a coach and I reach out to people beyond my coach, friends who are coaches for support. It's so valuable to have a support system that is outside of your friends and family, it's amazing to have the friends and family support, absolutely. But to have that kind of neutral party who's not part of your core life, who's not going to have that biased opinion, right? Coaches, we stay neutral. I help you see your mind and help you decide based on what you want. And I distinguish if it's a suggestion, if I'm giving advice, But I always ask, what do you think about that? You don't have to agree with me, but I want to know your thoughts so we can figure out, like, where are you at here? What's going on? Because you're feeling a way you don't want to feel, which is okay. That's guiding you, but we can get you here. But it is a process, definitely.
See, that's an interesting thing too, because, you know, we can sit and have a conversation with ourselves, but we often don't because life's so busy. So just the act of actually engaging, whether it's a coach or, you know, somebody else, you know, that, you know, can be impartial, can bring that level of conversation with a genuine level of desire to see you arrive where you want to arrive, not where the person talking to you wants you to stay or who they want you to be. It's like disconnecting from that. So a coach allows that, but the coach can then ask those powerful questions. Sure, you could ask them yourself. I mean, go and look up life coaching questions or questions to be your best self and you know, 3 seconds on Google and you'll have answers. Or you'll have questions that you can, you know, ask yourself to get answers. But it's that being in a situation where a coach can ask you, you've invested in the coaching, the coach will ask you questions and then all of a sudden, you know, lets you put stuff on the table, and you'll find that the more stuff that lands on the table, all of a sudden the person hasn't looked at that before. They haven't understood those beliefs. They'll say something and they'll be like, oh my God, where did that come from? And it'll be something about self-doubt or a lack of self-worth, or it could even be a dream. I would love to do this. And it's almost like, oh no, should I have said that out loud, or where did that come from? But now that it's there and it's real, now we can actually make a plan to make this thing happen. And if bringing a coach into your life from now until forever, like, I'm sure Tiger Woods still has a coach. I'm sure every top sports person still has a coach, right? You don't stop needing a coach. But if you're not having one and you're feeling stuck, but geez, I tell you what, it's a pretty quick answer to get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, I think there's phases. Like, I thought about this the other day, saying like, I will always have a coach. And I do believe I will, but I think absolutely there could be a phase of like 6 months where maybe I don't have that one-on-one. Maybe I'm just like really honing in on Eckhart Tolle and I consider that my coach, but I do know I will always in phases be hiring new people that I can learn from, because I've seen the investments I've made in myself pay off tenfold. I mean, and it just feels good to take that step into working on yourself. And that is hard for people to do because they don't want to say their dreams out loud. I love it when my clients tell me, like, I can't believe I just said that. Like, I have not, like, you know, one of my clients, she wants to start a blog and she wants to write. And she told me one day, and she's like, I've just never really said it out. She started crying. I've never said it out loud, but I really, really want to. And you know, it's because when we say it out loud, it's real. Now it's known. And that's why I'm also a big journaler, I'm a big writer. I love to sit down and write my thoughts. I do it every single day, and it varies on length, but it becomes tangible, right? It becomes, oh shit, it's a part of this world now. It's not just bouncing around in our head. It's known, even if it's just on paper. And with a coach, now it's known to another human being, and a human being that you trust and that you know is holding love and space for you to help get you to your goals. And it is a beautiful thing just to say things out loud or to listen back. I record my calls for my clients for them to access later, and everyone's different. Some listen back, but the ones who do listen back, especially to a powerful session, I mean, sometimes it's mind blowing because they hear their thoughts. They're listening to, like, sometimes it feels like a stranger, or, you know, they can definitely have some amazing breakthroughs.
So, long time journaler, or is it like something that you've taken up in recent times, or
3 years? Consistent daily journaling, I would say over 3 years, maybe I've missed 30 days. It was hard to build up. No, I tried to start journaling when I was little, and then high school, and then college. Like, I have old journals, like, you literally years, years of a break. But when I started, after my miscarriage, and when I started kind of binging, Abraham Hicks and stuff, I just, you hear it all the time, right? Like the people, super successful people, enlightened people, you know, spiritual leader, whatever, they're just like, journal, write your thoughts, write your goals, write your dreams. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, amazing book. Like first time I read it, so confused, didn't understand anything, but I knew they talked about writing your goals. Second time I read it, I was like, holy shit, everything makes sense. Mm. And, but it was one of those things where it was just like, just do it, Emily, just show up and just do it. And it was hard at first, but then I look forward to it every single day. And sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's just like, thank you for this day. I love you so much. You're loved. You got this. Go get it. Like sometimes it's just a few lines, but I show up, I put pen to paper because, right, we're habitual people. It's a habit. And I know if I get off habit for, you know, so many days, then it's going to be harder to get back on. So I kind of have this 3-day rule with my habits. I'm pretty consistent with it, with intermittent fasting, journaling, and exercising. Those are the main ones. I can't go 3 days without doing it. But I don't beat myself up if I do. But on the third day, I'm like, all right, let's get your shit together. Let's go. And then I go for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. And yeah. So if you had to define happiness, firstly, are you happy? And how do you define happiness?
Mm-hmm. I'm very happy. Yes, I am very happy. Well, I think happiness, it's a visceral feeling, right? It's an emotion. I feel it in my body. It feels light. It feels warm and comfortable and exciting. It feels peaceful. It feels all those things. It feels like I'm alignment. I think the main thing happiness feels like for me is just complete appreciation and fullness. And that is a huge part of what I truly believe one of the main keys to becoming happy is gratitude, is to every single day. The main affirmation I say is thank you. I've trained my brain to say thank you first thing when I wake up. And if I don't, and I'm brushing my teeth and I'm like, oh shit, I haven't said thank you yet. And I sing a little song in my head. I'm kind of weird with myself and silly or whatever. Everybody has their own style. Mm-hmm. And I say thank you. And I'm walking. I'm like, thank you for this step. Thank you for that tree. And thank you for the 5 pounds I gained. And thank you for that client who said no. And that client who said yes. It's like, it changes everything. It's that reticular activating system. I'm retraining my brain to happiness. But it can look, the things that make me happy, well, are my thoughts. My thoughts make me happy because I believe our thoughts create our emotions. So the way I choose to view the world and view my life and view my body and my relationship and my goals have created this sensation, the emotion of happiness in my body and in my life. And that's, yeah, that's, I guess, how I define happiness. I don't know. It's, I guess, a loaded answer. And there's an interesting thing around this that I think is nice to touch on. We're supposed to feel all the emotions or else they wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel all the emotions, but you mentioned, and I mentioned in the beginning, but you also did too, about, when your self-worth starts increasing, your confidence comes along with it. And I give this example, and I probably need to figure out a way to explain it better, but I have worked on knowing how worthy I am. And I was raised religiously, but I've always been very spiritual. I've always just felt God, like something bigger, so loved, so connected. And I've worked on that a lot, even more the past years. And when you know you are truly undeniably worthy and enough at your core, like my chest is burning right now with like love because that is my core, and I can feel sad and insecure and fear and frustration, but underneath it, this sense of worthiness is blocking those emotions from sinking to my core. And that protects me. And that is what I want to instill in my clients. That is what I want. And it's possible. it's a belief system. And I created that belief system. And yes, through how I was raised and my past and everything, but no matter how you were raised, if you want that, you can retrain your brain. You can retrain your beliefs to feel truly and believe viscerally, like I am worthy, I am enough. And through that, I get to feel happy more. And I get to feel it to the highest, you know, that immense joy. And then when I feel sad and frustrated and angry, I don't sink as low, but I do still feel those emotions because I'm human.
You hop out of bed and you kick your toe hard. Like, it's like, thank you for this morning. But I mean, like, you know, and like pain makes you feel alive, whatever else. But I get there at the exact moment that I kick my toe out, like, yippee. No, I'm probably cursing and frustrating and then hobbling along. But I'm still very grateful for life. And I still at my core am a happy, vibrant being, and suffering comes and goes. So, you know, just like if I sat out in the sun, I'd get burnt, and then nighttime would come and then I wouldn't be feeling, I'd probably still feel a little bit burnt, but you know what I mean? Like suffering does come and go. So if you can get that self-worth part right, it's like, I suppose, setting a core so that it's not, you don't feel shattered on the inside, because if you're fractured, then that's what allows for the negative emotions to get in and stay there and reside. So that's interesting. So if you're talking to someone, I mean, or even, you know, for yourself, I suppose, how is it that you get through dark times? Like if we focus in on you, what is it that you go through to get you through a dark time? Is it the thanks that you were talking about? Is it recognizing that it's temporary? Mm-hmm. Is it knowing that your core is positive? What is it for you?
You know, since I've really taken this turn and done this work really, really deeply on myself, I don't feel like I've had a very, you know, dark time. But if I think, I wish I had this work when I was so down, like in my relationship and everything. But, it's funny when I talk about this, it seems like maybe my relationship and maybe my life was painted as really, it wasn't, it was beautiful. It, you know, to the outside eye, it was, but inside I was feeling lost and I was feeling stuck. And that's always an interesting thing. We see other people's lives and we think like, we don't know. You never know what's going on inside somebody, and their emotions are valid. And I think a problem with so many people is they don't allow to themselves to feel the emotions they're feeling. They escape from them through drugs, alcohol, sex, food, Netflix, right? Those things that normally in excess do not serve us. So they escape their emotions, avoid them through those things as well. They suppress them, or they react to them, right? And so that's, you know, people lash out in anger, or they, you know, lots of negative self-talk to themselves, or they do not deal with it. They just sweep it, push it down. And that's oftentimes when people have breakdowns, which a breakdown oftentimes can shift people into a very beautiful place too, but they had to get to that rock bottom. And so a process I walk my clients through often is learning how to feel your emotion and not hating any emotion. Because when you hate it, when you fight, it fights back, right? Right. You're not fighting with an enlightened emotion, right? Gandhi's not going to fight back with you if you hit him, but your emotions will. So if you're like so angry at yourself for feeling guilty and feeling shame and feeling anger, and you just hate it, it's going to come back at you. It's going to intensify that emotion. And so just allow yourself to feel it. And sometimes we need to be guided through that process. And I help my clients if they really need it, depending on, you know, what's happening in our coaching session, or really work through, talk through, what are you feeling in your body? Where is it in your body? Right. We hold, I just took a live, a three day, I was in and out because I had to work, but Mastin Kipp, do you know Mastin Kipp?
Nope.
He's a big trauma healer coach. He's new to me too, but I had a ticket to his program this last week, and he talks a lot about the nervous system and how we hold trauma, past trauma, in our bodies, like physically in our bodies. And you can access that through like coaching and certain trauma therapies or whatever. He's not a therapist, but you can access it through coaching as well, just by holding that safe place, asking them questions, guiding them through, even maybe bringing them back to that traumatic event and allowing them to express themselves, allowing them to say what they wanted to say at that time, or even if they're in it right now, if they're in that depression or whatever, like allowing them to say what they want to say. Like, even if it's like, you know, I hate you, or I'm full of hate, right? Just to just say it, let it out. It's trapped in your body. You need to release it. And sometimes when you release it, it's just like, you're like, okay, you're never going to get rid of that memory, but you can release some of it, and you can learn to then change your focus. But if it's still trapped and hidden and suppressed, it's hard. And that's when sometimes it comes back and like, it's like, oh shit, what's happening? I never dealt with this.
Have you, it reminds me a bit of that from the NLP stuff, the timeline theory, where it's like you can kind of float up, head back to a moment, whatever, like trying to go back to the very first time that you felt, you know, angry or sadness or whatever it might be, and then trying to immerse yourself in that in your mind. Mm-hmm. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you smell? What did you feel? What were you thinking to yourself? But then try to do it now as the observer, because you're mm-hmm. with the wisdom of your age, going back and then trying to say, well, actually, what did I take from this situation, and what positives can I take from it, and how can I reframe what was a negative time and has held with me as a negative time, to see it now that it might have actually tipped me in the right direction or made me stronger, or you know, what can I learn to grow? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by the sounds of things, it actually then collapses a whole lot of that feeling, you know, within your body and within your mind, within your heart, so that you can feel better about your life and your path up until where you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is a cool exercise. I had an NLP practitioner do that, it's kind of like a meditation. They guide you through, you float above the experience, you move forward in your timeline back, and then like your future self can guide you and give you. And I do similar, not that exact thing, but I've done future focus and like, what would your future self tell you right now to get through this pain? Because your future self is through it. They're living the life they want. They learned from it. They love you. They love your life. Like, access that to be able to guide you right now and the past you. And yeah, I've seen, you know, I've seen and heard a lot too from fellow coach friends that can be amazing work for people to go through.
So if you were to go back, time machine, back in time, and you were to be with your 18-year-old self, what would your advice be to 18-year-old Emily?
Oh man. To love yourself more. You know, I had a lot of body image insecurities, and to just say, like, you are seriously going to do exactly what you want to do. You're going to feel so aligned. You're going to feel so full of life and love. And just trust that it's happening to you. But I wouldn't tell her to change anything, because I don't want to change my past, because it's how I got here. And what's the point? What's the point of me trying to change anything that happened? Because I can look back and I can think about those things that we want to say we regret and we want to say we change, but I can't change it. So I can just change the memory of it. I can change the experience of it in my life now, because all that I have now is now. So the way I think about my past now is what I feel now. And that's all that matters. So, you know, I would just tell her to be kind to herself. I would probably want to send her Abraham Hicks, Eckhart Tolle, Brooke Castillo, the Life Coach School, but maybe, you know, that would probably change the whole course of everything.
It's interesting enough it would. Hey, like, you know, is it a magic carpet ride where we're going anywhere that we dream up and anything changes, or is it a roller coaster ride or, you know, and we're actually on the track, and that, you know, if you went back, all that might change is the vibe that the person felt the whole way, having some level of faith, you know, that it's all going to work out, where instead you know, without that reassurance, you know, we go through and we're bumping into this and that, and we're feeling, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, but perhaps who knows? Like that's the mystery. I know. Of life. Yeah.
There's no way of knowing, which mm-hmm. is, I find that fun to think about. And so many people get lost in not knowing, like they have to know, but life is uncertain. We don't know. And everything is a choice. Every belief system is a choice. And I'm very aware that the things that I choose to believe are fact and truth in my life aren't for other people, mm-hmm. but they serve me, and I get to choose it. And I like to choose it. And I know it's a choice, and that's fine. Like, I'm totally fine with not knowing and not knowing everything. You know, that can really overwhelm a lot of people. And it has for me, for sure, especially growing up Catholic and just religious and everything. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. What is this? And what is that? And what's going to happen if I do this? And I just don't know. I don't know if this is true and that's true. And like, oh God, I have to know. And now I'm like, oh God, I don't have to know. I don't have to know. And what freedom and not knowing, because there is no way, no humanly possible way we can all know for certain. I choose to know for certain what serves me in my life. Mm-hmm. And that is connection to God, source energy, the universe, you know, it's all the same to me, whatever serves you to think about. I choose that love and happiness and all the cliche corny shit, but that's the best shit. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. what I want to choose.
Mm-hmm. So, your life is a series of moments of now, and there's power in the now, as Eckhart would say. But, you know, if you were to back in the time machine all the way to your 100th birthday and you were to look back on your life, what would you mm-hmm. like to have achieved?
Oh man. I want a beautiful family. I want lots of kids. I want to create like this amazing, I'm going to this amazing coaching business that just serves so many people. I have an idea for a foundation that I've thought of a long time ago called the Hands Up Foundation, that helps like homeless or, you know, really our poverty people just really like feel confident in themselves and start living the life they want. I want to be able to just, I want to make a ton of money. I do. And I used to feel really guilty for thinking that, but I can do a lot with money. I can free my time. I can help more people. I can start this foundation. I want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to travel. I want to be with my family. I want to spread love and joy and positivity and be a bright, say I write this sometimes, I'm a bright freaking light, except I use the other, mm-hmm. I'm a total potty mouth. I'm a bright light, and I'm going to shine, and I'm going to share everything I can with people around me. I want to live life to the fullest, and I want to learn, and I want to grow, and I want to help, and I'm going to do it all. There's no doubt in my mind. I get to have anything I want.
Does that excite you?
Oh my God, so exciting. If I could hear...
There's a level of confidence there, isn't there? Like, you know, it's like people listening, you know, are they imagining such a bright future for themselves? So it's lovely to hear that you're clear on it. But you're not just clear on it. You're actually feeling that as you're speaking. And mm-hmm. I can see the energy coming through. Mm-hmm. What's that like to be having that confidence in knowing that you'll bring it about? And it will have different forms and shapes and twists and turns, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But you can see that you have a very bright future and you're bringing that about, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that is the trick. Like, you have to feel it now, because when I feel this energy now, I take action from this energy, from this emotion. Like I visualize the house I'm in. I visualize how I look, and me and my husband and my kids and this business and who I get to hire and who I get to help. And like, so I see it. I'm seeing it play out like a movie in front of me. And it's, I feel it in my body. I'm like excited. My heart rate's up. I'm sweating a little bit. I feel so happy, and I'm going to get off this call, and I'm probably going to, you know, do something in my business, or I'm going to take action from that energy. I'm going to sit and write it down and make it even more concrete. Like, this is why you have to be happy now before all of those things. I don't have those things right now, but I know I will. And I truly, like, I really know I'm going to get all of it. And maybe it'll look differently, of course, like to take twists and turns, but that's okay because I'm so happy right now enjoying the journey that it's gonna be like, oh, that's how that was supposed to turn out. Oh, that's cool. I love that, right? And honestly, to just kind of prove this a little bit, I like manifestation, law of attraction, big believer of that. I set a goal before I even got certified. The moment that I heard that the Life Coach School had a 100K award to earn $100,000 in a year of coaching. It can be any year of coaching, any year of your business, but I wanted to do it in the first year as a coach, and I did it. 2020 was my official first year as a coach, and I passed that 3 days ago.
Wow.
And I wrote it almost every single day. I told myself, I never fucking doubted it. Oh, sorry. I never doubted it. I really knew it was possible. There are moments when it's like, oh man, I don't know. I'm kind of far away or whatever. And I guess you could say that would be doubt, but because of this work, I knew it was like, Emily, do you want to focus on that? What do you want? And I'm like, I want to make 100K plus. All right. Then what do you want to focus on right now? Not that, I want to focus on this. And that's how I learned to redirect my brain. But that took me, you know, time to learn to do that more quickly.
I like it. And so people listening, right, they might be like stuck, miserable, unhappy. They could be just going along okay. And they're thinking, oh, you know, I should be doing the 9 to 5, but they know it's not right. To get them to a life that they truly love, you know, you've already given a slew of great tips. But is there anything else that you would give, like any advice or tips to someone to get them towards a life they truly love?
Hire a coach. Hire me. No, I would say sit down with your thoughts for sure. Find things that light you up. Find and maybe it will, you know, find something you love listening to. Like for me, that was Abraham Hicks. I listened to her every single day and it lit me up. Fill your life with positive things. And if that starts with a podcast, if that starts with a new book, if that starts with, you know, a simple 5-minute meditation, if it starts with simply writing thank you, just thank you every single day. Like you can take these baby steps to get there. It's not like boom, it can be for some people. It's like epiphany, holy shit, everything changes. But for most, it takes time. It's a process. And so remind yourself, this is important. You do not have to know how. Release the how. So we get so stuck in how am I going to do it? You don't have to know how. Just start by writing thank you every day. Start by hiring a coach. Start by listening to a podcast a week, reading a chapter a week, like baby steps. You do not have to know how. I have no idea how I'm going to make $1 million. I have ideas. I have no idea when or how I'm going to have those kids or how I'm going to start this foundation or how I'm going to, whatever. I don't know the exact how. And if I focus on it, I get overwhelmed. So I'm going to release the how, and I'm just going to trust that I will figure it out as I go. And really recognize, this is hard. I can say it, but you have to feel it viscerally. Like you have to believe that you're enough. Every single one of us, even people you wouldn't like, right? Like we are undeniably worthy. We are created with love, and life can distract us from that. And it can bring, you know, it can bring out more negative sides of us, but that is not who we truly are. We're just disconnected. And you may feel a little disconnected from your dreams and your goals and from your best self. But you can learn to reconnect to that. And you just have to give yourself grace and compassion, and it's possible, and give yourself time. There's no pressure. You don't have to do it right now. Enjoy the journey. That's so important, and it makes it more fun. You want to enjoy your way to your goals.
I love it. I love it. And so you mentioned there that people might be able to work with you as a coach, but they want to follow along. They want to follow your journey. They perhaps want to work with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. Instagram is where I house most of my stuff, but you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, my website, all at Emily Elizabeth Coaching. So It's Emily Elizabeth Coaching is my name. And I would love for people to follow my journey, check in, and yeah. And I have some free resources too, if that's in the links in my Instagram, some free challenges and confidence challenges and things like that, that if anybody wants to get started there, that's a little action step you can take.
Emily, thank you so much. I really have appreciated you taking the time to come on and have a chat. I've learned a lot. I feel like I've really, really, really enjoyed this conversation. I'm sure that people have gotten a lot out of it. So again, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you. It was really, really fun. I appreciate it.
And thank you everyone for tuning in for another episode. I'm really loving you that you're giving your time and energy to come along and listen to another episode. It's all about purpose and passion. I really want you to live a life that you truly love. And I look forward to catching on the next episode. My name's Tom Bell, and I'll talk to you soon.